Alrighty. As I said before, on a Wednesday night, I am glad to be here. I'm very excited to be here. It's always refreshing to come in here and be able to see y'all once again. I'm thankful that I can be here today. I'm thankful for Lord Jesus Christ who saved my soul. I'm thankful for what he's done for us. And I want you to, if you don't mind, open up the Bible to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. And we're going to be talking about a man named Joseph. Now, I know everybody pretty much has a favorite person from the Bible. A lot of people want to be Peter because he cut somebody's ear off and was very bold. But this is one of my favorite people other than Jesus in the Bible. And Genesis chapter 37, the title today is going to be From the Pit to the Palace. From the Pit to the Palace. And we're going to be looking at a journey of faithfulness. Now, what we see in the life of Joseph is a life of faithfulness, a life of fulfillment of God's purpose, a life of patience through trials, and a life that glorifies God. And that is, as I said on Wednesday night, that is what we're here for. Amen. That is why we're here, to glorify God. So here are some verses I wanted to go ahead and give you that tell us to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." John 15:8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." And Isaiah 43:7 says, "Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yeah, I have made him." So as you will see, no matter what circumstance Joseph faces, he doesn't let anything or anybody prevent him from giving God the glory. And that should be our lives today. That should be what we want to do, is no matter what, we should want to give God the glory. Amen. So in this study, I believe you'll see his purpose through trusting God in his life, and I think that you'll be able to maybe see your own purpose of trusting God through your life. Let's look at four circumstances Joseph went through and how he responded to them. Let's go ahead and read. We'll start in verse 1 and we'll read down to verse 4. The Bible says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors." Now watch this in verse 4. "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. They could not speak peaceably unto him." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this wonderful day. Lord, I thank you for how you've blessed us already. Lord, I ask you, please touch this time, Lord, that we would be able to open up your word and be able to study your word, that we may understand what you would have us to take from this. Lord, I ask you, please help us whenever it comes to our purpose in you. Help us when it comes to us trusting in you for every step of the way, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Number one, the first point today is the pit, and we're going to get to the pit eventually, but first I want you to see the plotting of the pit. Verse 4 is the key to his brother's plotting. Let's go and read it again one more time. "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred forms in the heart. A man named Rick Warren said this. He said, "Resentment is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die." Yep. Like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. The plotting of evil started with the hate they had for their brother. Although they spoke bad against him, he never retaliated. Hatred was a start, and that hatred converted into envy, then into physically harming Joseph. Let's go ahead and read on a little bit more. Verse 5, And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obedience. How do you say that word? It's just obese. Okay, thank you to me. We'll get through it somehow. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him. But his father observed this saying. In verse 12, look, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem, come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks to bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem, and a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, Some evil beasts have devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Joseph has a dream from God that made his brothers hate him more. And we often wonder why so many people go against Christianity. It's because it's from God. Verses 12 through 17, we see Joseph on his way to the pit. Now, he didn't know he was going to the pit, and I don't think he would have changed it if he knew. Verse 18, they conspired. This means they plotted against him. They plotted against Joseph. They hated him because he had his father's love, and they envied him and his dreams. Are you today struggling with hatred and envy? All of it brings bitterness and destruction. And that's what we see from the brethren. It only brought them bitterness and destruction. They wanted to physically harm their brethren. They wanted any way to see him fall. And they were going to cast him into a pit. Now we see the provision of the pit. Surely Joseph being in this pit thought that this was going to be the end. Surely he thought it would be the end. But remember, in desperation, God always seems to be just around the corner. Let's read verse 21 through 24. The Bible says, And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands and deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. So surely Joseph thought, this was it. This is it. This is the end. But the pit was empty, and there was no sign of living. And oftentimes when we get thrown into that spiritual pit, we question God or we try to climb out of it. I've been there. I've tried to climb out of it. But God's already prepared you a way out. You just have to trust Him. You just have to trust in God. God was already preparing a way. Joseph didn't know it, but God already had someone coming to get him out of that pit. Look at verse number 25. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spices and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. They were satisfied. They were satisfied with selling their own brother. Then there passed the Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. You see, God had already prepared Joseph a way out. We see the provision of God. They lift up their eyes and they see the Ishmaelites. But what's so important about them is that was God's way out. Now, it looked like it was the way to despair. I mean, he's being sold as a slave. There can be nothing good can come out of that, right? But God was preparing that, and that was God's plan. Joseph's way of salvation didn't come from something good. It came from something bad. He had to be a slave, but God meant for him to be a slave to bring him to a place to grow. That's what we see in our lives. Those trials, those hard times in our life, it makes us grow. It grows us into where God needs us to be. Amen. And that's what we see next is the purpose of the pit. The purpose of the pit. Let's read 29 through 34. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brethren, and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this we have found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat, and evil beasts have devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. This was all God's plan. Remember, Joseph had the dream that his brothers and his father would bow down to him. And God indeed will show you that through some trials. But these trials only strengthen Joseph. Maybe you're going through a trial right now and you don't see the purpose. That may be a good thing. Stay faithful and trust God, because God may bring you through it and you may not know why. But I want you to notice something about the dad, Jacob. Verse 34, and Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. You know, sin does not just affect us. Just because we sin, it doesn't just only affect us. When we sin, it affects others too. Sin brings death. That's what happened in the beginning. Sin has always brought death. Now we're going to go over to chapter 39, and I want to continue this story. We see Potiphar's house as number two. We see Potiphar's house. So Joseph has went through the pit. He has endured the trials of the pit, suffered from the hatred of his brothers, and now he is being sold into the house of Potiphar. And the first thing we see in Potiphar's house is the favor of God. Verse 1, it says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw, notice this, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. An officer of Pharaoh, a highly ranked individual, bought him. And quickly he became the second command, just like he was with his father. Second command. But why did he become second in command? Well, it's because Potiphar could see that the Lord was with him. Potiphar could see that the Lord was with him. And after the pit, Did Joseph say, well, God must not care about me. God has thrown me into this pit, sold me to be a slave. I mean, surely God doesn't care about me. No, he didn't say that. He served God where he was. He was faithful to God where he was. He trusted God where he was. He kept going for God. The Bible tells us that he was a goodly man. Verse number 5 and 6, it says, and it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed him, or blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake as a favor of God. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. We see the hand. We see God's hand on Joseph, on Potiphar, and on all that Potiphar had was blessed by God. And what was this, the end of the trials? Not even close. Not even close. Then we see the faithfulness of Joseph. Let's look right here in verse number 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to mine hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Now listen to this. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He didn't say sin against Potiphar. He said, how could I sin against my God? Who do we think we're sinning against whenever we sin? We think we're sinning against the person that we harmed? We're sinning against God too. We are sinning against God. Let's see here. Verse 10, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph. Notice this, underline this if you will. Day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her, nor to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment into her hand and fled, and got him out. Potiphar's wife saw Joseph and wanted him, and Joseph said no. He could not go behind his back, his master's back, but he more than that could not go behind God's back. What about you? Let's get personal. Maybe someone isn't coming to you in the sense of Potiphar's wife, but what about the people that we treat bad? What about the things we say behind somebody's back? What about the bitterness in our hearts? What about the hatred that we have in our hearts for somebody? It's bad to go against someone, but it's more bad to go against God, the one who sent his only begotten son to die for you. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says this, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You can hide your lust from your pastor. You can hide it from, you can hide your heart, the way your heart views people and views the world. You can hide that from other people, but you cannot hide that from God. God knows our hearts and he knows our thoughts. Sin, temptation, lust, they don't just stop. Notice what it says. It says, verse 10, and it came to pass, and she spake to Joseph day by day. She kept coming continually. Sin and temptation doesn't just stop once you say no. He had already said no. It keeps going. It keeps asking you. It keeps trying to pull you away from God. We have to fight it. We have to trust God. God gave us a weapon. Let's use it. This quote is written in the front of my Bible. This book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book. And that is so true. Then we see the framing of Potiphar's wife. Verse 13, and it came to pass when she saw that she had let that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. And he came in to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. He was angry. He was mad at Joseph. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But notice verse 21, But the Lord was with him. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. She had framed Joseph. She had the perfect story and the perfect setup. It was the perfect execution to make him out to be the bad guy. She had all that she needed to convict him. She had all of the, she had his presence, his background, his garment, and her testimony. But God knew his heart and God knows yours. Here Joseph is falsely accused and in the worst place to be at in Egypt. Surely he cursed God and said, I'm done with God. Every time I try to stand up, I just keep getting knocked down. But he didn't. He was faithful to God. God was faithful to him. God gave him favor in the prison. Second in command over the prisoners. Notice verse 22 and 23. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, but the Lord was with him. That which he did, the Lord made to prosper. Once again, Joseph is prospering wherever he goes because he's just trusting God. How did he get second in command? The Lord was with him. I'm telling you, if you will just trust God, I'm not trying to tell you he will make you rich, but he will take you where you need to be. And then we see the prison, verse 40, or chapters 40 and 41. We're not going to read all this, but I'm going to do a little, I'm going to try to get through it a little quicker. It was no accident that the chief butler and baker were thrown into prison. In verses 1 through 5, we see that the chief baker and butler were thrown into the prison with Joseph, and Joseph was able to interpret their dreams. They had some dreams they needed to interpret. And once again, God provides in a time where Joseph thought he had nothing. He thought there was no way that there could be anything else, but he stayed faithful and God helped him. Joseph did not know that Pharaoh would need an interpreter, but God knew it. By bringing these men to Joseph, he was able to get out of prison into a place that God had planned for him to be in. We see this in verse 5, and it says, And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, and each according to the interpretation of their dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison. And they give their dream. We're not going to go over that. But Joseph was able to interpret it. Verse 16, When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I was also in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And he goes on to finish off the dream, and basically it was a bad dream. He's being hung, and the chief butler was able to go back to Pharaoh. And then we go into chapter 41. Now notice this, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years after he had already interpreted the dream, 2 full years, it says, and behold, there came up that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadows. Now, that's talking about cows there. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored with lean-fleshed, and stood by the river, or stood by the other kine unto the bank of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat of the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. So Pharaoh is having this dream, and basically, I'm going to go ahead and give you what's happening. There's going to be 7 years of prosperous time where there's going to be lots of harvest. You're going to be a great harvest, but then there's going to come 7 years of famine. And we see the patience of Joseph. See, in verse 23, the Bible says, and not verse 23 of 41, but verse 23 of chapter 40, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. So 2 years he sat there. The Pharaoh has this dream. And now put yourself in Joseph's shoes. You've been through the pit. You've been through Potiphar's house. And now you've been forgotten. I mean, it can't get any worse. You know you don't deserve what you've been given. But don't we deserve what we've been given? I mean, if it weren't for the sufferings and death of Jesus Christ, we'd all be bound for hell today. It's okay to not get our way. And that's what happened to Joseph. He didn't get his way, but he didn't complain. He endured, and he was patient. Ecclesiastes 7, 8 through 9 says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient of in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resisteth the bosom of fools. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayers. And then chapter 41, 8 through 13, we're going to see the patience. The 2 whole years pays off when the butler finally remembers Joseph. Verses 8, it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. So Pharaoh needed somebody who could interpret the dream. Then the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with me, with his servant, and he put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according the interpretation of his dream. And there was with us a young man, a Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he did interpret the dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. So God used Joseph to interpret those dreams, and now we're going to see the palace. We see the prize of Joseph's faithfulness. Verses 28 through 44, we're not going to read it all, but Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream and tells Pharaoh what he should do about the dream. And now notice in verse 38, it says this, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? The Spirit of God was on Joseph with his father in the pit, in Potiphar's house, in the prison, and now standing before Pharaoh. We could shake up this world with the gospel if everywhere we went, people knew that we were servants of God. Let's not go somewhere and leave without people knowing who we follow. Summarize up the rest. Pharaoh set him over all the land of Egypt, everything but Pharaoh himself. And there he served as Pharaoh's second in command. From the pit to the palace, he didn't know God's purpose for his life, but he knew God. He was faithful to God, and everyone around him knew it. Can that be said about you today? Can that be said about me? I must ask myself that same question. And I know I have failed, but we must make the decision in our hearts to serve Him everywhere we go. And I want, when people see me, I want people to say, that's a servant of God. That's a man who serves God. I want them to see that light. Joseph was 17 in the pit, and 13 years later, he's over all of Egypt. I don't know where God will take you and place you. I don't know who you will meet. But God does be faithful to those who are faithful to Him. Amen. The story doesn't end there. I wish I could finish reading the whole story. We could go in all of this. It's all great and stuff. But let me give you one more point really quickly and I'll be finished. Genesis 37, 7 through 8. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaves arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around and made obeisance to my sheave. And his brethren said unto him, shall thou indeed reign over us? and or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet more, the more for his dreams and for his words. Those dreams were never wrong. And this is the proof of Joseph's love. His brothers would come to Egypt to buy food after the famine came. And that was all God. That was God that did that. God brought them there. Lo and behold, there's Joseph. They don't know it's truly him yet. And I recommend you reading the whole story for yourself. But look, Joseph's reaction to the very brothers who betrayed him. Genesis 45, 1 through 9, the Bible says, Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, caused every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known to his brethren, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. They thought he would surely kill him. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and Joseph said, I am Joseph your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Look, we don't see the purpose in the pit. We don't see the purpose in Potiphar's house. We don't see the purpose in the prison. But God has taken us to a place where God can use us. He's taken us somewhere for a reason. I don't know what you're dealing with today. I really don't. But if you're dealing with something, just be faithful to God. Just trust in Him. He's going to take you where He needs you to be. Joseph forgave his brothers and prepared them a place to live, food to eat. But notice, he understood his purpose. God did send me before you to preserve life. I don't know what you do or who you are, all of you. I know some of you, but here's a purpose for you in your life, to preserve life, to keep safe from harm, destruction, and death. Our purpose is to tell people about Jesus. That's a purpose for you. I'll finish off with this verse. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Let me ask you this question. How many people aren't being saved because we aren't fulfilling our purpose? I want you to think about that. Our pain and our suffering is nothing compared to God's purpose, and Joseph understood that. And another man that understood that was Jesus Christ. When he suffered and died for us, he knew that he was doing that to save much people alive. Joseph's suffering and pain saved many nations, and pointed toward Christ, who, like Joseph, was rejected by the very people he came to save. We have a purpose today. I don't know where God's got you, but I know He's got a purpose for you, and all He wants you to do is trust Him and be faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You. I thank You for this day. I thank You for how You blessed us already. I ask that You please help us and guide us through all the trials, all the temptations. Help us to just be faithful to You. Help others to see the God on us, Lord. I ask You, please help us to love You, to love everyone as we should. Help us to not hold on to that bitterness and hatred, but help us to uplift other believers. Help us to reach the lost, and help us to have a good testimony for You, Lord. I love You, and I praise You, and thank You for all that You do. In Your name we pray. Amen.